This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Matt Varghese and Ben Parker. From maker interviews to tutorials and more, we're here to talk about all things no code.
Hi, everybody. Ben here. Welcome back for another episode of Visual Dev FM. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Lacey and Matt.
Hello.
Heyo.
And we're excited to jump into another week, another conversation. This week, we're going to talk about, what do jobs in the no-code space look like? And we're not talking about what it's like to work at a place that builds a no-code tool, but what's the state of no-code in general, if you want to be a no-code maker, a no-code builder, what does that look like? And so have a special guest this week, and it's a great interview. But before we get there, as always, we're going to walk through our no-code roundup and what's new in no-code. So so our first thing up is the no-codey. So those actually opened last week. We didn't really talk about it a whole lot or tweet about it a whole lot, but it is a thing. It's live. Go vote. Voting ends February 19th at midnight Central Standard Time, which is Chicago time, for all our people who are listening.
And we have a lot of, in the no-codies, a lot of people have submitted their votes already. Just a quick tally on who's winning in each category. Automation, Parabola is at the top. Bubble Project, New Code is at the top. Development Tools, Webflow. The one category that's gotten a ton of eyes on it has been education. McGuire Brandon and Webflow University and MakerPad are neck and neck right now. So go ahead and cast your votes to make sure that, you know, if you have a favorite resource that's on here, make sure they're getting your support, because we want to make sure that we're recognizing them and their work.
It's so good. There's a lot of stuff in there, and it was a lot of fun building that site. And in fact, we can throw in here the quick recap again of how this all started. But we'll have a link in the show notes to the speed build of the site and what have you. But nominations are locked in. Voting is live. Go drop your vote for your favorite people, tools, projects. We can't wait to see who wins. It's going to be a lot of fun. February 19th, voting ends. So, Matt and Lacey and I have this conversation, ongoing DM on Twitter, where we share things that we see. And one of the tools that I came across was mightynetworks.com. And I don't know if anybody here has seen it from the podcast, or if you're listening and you've seen it, or maybe you're listening and you work for them, or what have you. Would love to hear from you. Their hero section is a new kind of website builder that grows with you. And so yeah, I think it's all centered around community, online courses, memberships, all in one place. So it's landing page, online courses and payments, you know, instead of having to roll your own forum, it's that piece as well. Looks like there's events and groups and polls and questions. Seems like a really interesting tool. I have not given it a go yet, but it is on my list of things to try. So if you have tried it, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You know, feel free and hit us up.
Lacey, have you played with this? Because I know you were looking into LMSs for Visual Dev School.
Yeah, I have a little bit. I don't know. It just kind of confused me, and I kind of got frustrated and then just threw my hands up and said I'm doing something else.
Why'd you get frustrated?
I think because I don't know what it's supposed to be. Like, it's a place for, like, I can build a website there, but I don't want a website builder. That is something that, you know, the three of us have discussed internally. That's right. Something that we absolutely want control over. And so there's that. Like a memberships or like a community, but I don't quite get, you know, I just didn't get that. And then with the online course and all of that, it didn't feel as natural to me as some of the other things that I've looked at. And so I just kind of poked around at it for a little bit and ultimately determined that right now it's not a good fit for us.
Gotcha. Do you know if you have to use a website piece, or is it kind of like, can I use it like a headless tool?
Yeah, I think you do. I think in one of the, and I could be wrong, but I think in one of the, like their pricing packages, it mentions you can have like a custom domain. So that leads me to think that you do have to tie in to their system. Like if it was like a back end that we could put behind, you know, Webflow, then I'd be much more open to exploring it. But it looks like it is a, you know, kind of an all encompassing thing.
For sure. I will say, I mean, though the tool doesn't look good, I think the landing page is actually really well designed. I'm a fan of the design itself, but yeah, it's a bummer to hear that might not be our tool of choice, but I think there's a lot of good tools, good alternatives for LMSs. In terms of LMSs, like, do you have a favorite right now, Lacey?
No, I have one that I think we're going to end up going with, but it's only my favorite. It's not my favorite. It's just, I think with LMSs, it's very much, you know, they're centered around like course, like one course or one type of product offering. And because we are structured differently, it's kind of difficult to make something fit. I'm actually building out something that maybe we could use in future iterations for our own courses, because I'm just not seeing what I want to see. But I do like, you know, Podia is great. It's definitely at the top of my list. There are other ones. Teachable is one. Thinkful is another one. There's Kajabi out there. And it's really just kind of coming down to price point and functionality. You know, what do we need? Right. And is it worth it? And does it replace other tools? Or, you know, can we integrate with our current tool set? So it's a lot to consider with an LMS and students and all of that.
For sure.
Awesome. So if you tried it, let us know. I plan on at least trying to play with it and get a little bit of time in it. Unfortunately, it feels like there's a new no-code tool every week, so trying to get time to play with all these can be a little different. So let us know what you think. Wix had a surprising release this week. So I think Wix is a tool that, you know, I mean, we've all used, I think everybody has like used it at some point just to play with it, try it. You've seen tools built in Wix, but, or websites built in Wix, but this is completely different.
And I'm really curious, what are they doing? It's like a hot dog company is going to start selling steaks now. And I just don't think that there is I just cannot wrap my head around this. I'm sorry. It just bothers me to no end.
What a great analogy.
I'm
crying.
It's like, to me, when I look at this, I think, okay, they don't do, you know, it's like back when, okay, IHOP, and they did that, we're changing to International House of Burgers.
God.
It's like you had one job and that's what you did. And why are you kind of going into this other realm? And I mean, all for like business expansion and all this and that. But honestly, in my opinion, Wix may be a very predominant website builder, but it is still on the very low end of website builders that you can find. And I just, to me, it's like their back end isn't the best. So it's like, well, if we just slap some new lipstick on a pig, I mean, it's still a pig. Right. So... Right. That's all I'm going to say. Wix people, if you ever listen to this,
you know. I am curious about it. I mean, like when you look at their features, it's, you know, they talk about precision breakpoints and being able to choose your own viewport sizes, fluid design. So they're talking about the freedom of CSS grid and flexbox. But when you look at it, it doesn't look like it's true flexbox or true grid. It's like, they're putting the rails on and kind of guiding you into grid and flexbox where you, so I don't know. I'm curious to see it. I'm anxious to see what this looks like, but you know, if you're somebody who got into the beta, would love to hear your thoughts about this. I personally, you know, I volunteer. I want to see what it's about. I want to see if it's the same thing it was before. or if this this is something completely new. So I don't know. Excited about it, but Wix with the hot take and the sliding into everybody's no code DMs and telling them about this cool new tool that they've got. So that came out this week. Glide again. It feels like here's our regular Glide plug.
This is actually just a Glide podcast.
It feels that way sometimes. So sharing the three updates from them, sharing Glide apps on Twitter, they now render us cool little cards that are more likely to get clicked, which is really neat. They kind of have that Twitter card piece down and figured out. Circular tiles to make your tile circle shape for that trendy San Francisco look, which is really cool. And then lastly, this is the biggest one in my opinion. You can have your own shopping cart screen in your app now, which is awesome. I think that's going to be a big deal for people who are looking to build an e-commerce experience, and super cool to see this finally happening.
I really hope that Glide's like move here is to eventually become like this full, almost like a micro Shopify app that you can have on your phone. Like because you can't make apps with Shopify, but it would be really awesome if I could literally build my store in Glide, and I could just send someone a link to my, you know, PWA, and they could install it, buy my merch, buy my cookbook, things like that, and get going. I'm excited to see where they're going with this, because I feel like in addition to updating Glide and getting more and more features generally, I feel like they're also adding a ton to e-commerce.
Yeah, it seems really cool. I'm curious to see how it all turns out or what happens with it. And I'm curious to play with it myself because I haven't got a chance to give it a go yet. And so my plan this week, hell or high water, I'm going to get a Glide app going with some e-commerce piece just to test this out. I'm curious just to see how this works. And I've been thinking about, I built an e-commerce Webflow to Printful integration. I'm curious to see what you could do with Glide and third-party integrations as far as, you know, passive income and being able to set up something that just ships everything for you. So I'm going to jump into it and play with it a little bit first chance I get. Sarkis posted this week on Twitter a 3-minute challenge. If you haven't seen it, I don't know where you've been, but it's there. It's everywhere. And so I've some really cool builds out there from a lot of different people. And I thought this was super fun and really cool. I want to take this moment to declare Twitter bankruptcy. I was telling Matt about this before. I've gotten so many mentions and so many messages that I feel like I've missed a bunch of conversations. And honestly, at this point, I don't know if I can catch up. So I declare bankruptcy. If you need to tag me in something to get my attention or message me, just do it again. And I'll try to pay attention to that when I'm starting from blank. I can't keep up. I'm too far behind. I apologize. But really cool stuff happening on Twitter in no code space. And then also this week, or I will say before we move on, it feels like no code convos on Twitter are really growing. Like it's getting a little noisy. I don't know if anybody...
Most definitely. I try to monitor, you know, no code conversations based on, like, I'll do searches on like the term, the hashtag no code, or, you know, quotation marks, no code in Twitter. And it's just like, there's a lot to keep up with now. And I try to respond to people, just like engage in conversations genuinely, but it can be a little overwhelming, especially if you get into a lot of conversations at once. So I feel you on the bankruptcy piece. Your mentions are much more destroyed than mine all the time. But I think it's a good thing though, right? Like more people are talking about no code and more people are getting into it. So to me, it's a win.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love it. I love it. It's just exciting to see so many people talking about it and it kind of starting to grow. I'm super excited. Also new, pre-built layouts from Webflow. So if you haven't seen it, it is a feature I have long wanted. Essentially, Webflow has a new section in the designer. So how it works is if you open up Webflow and then you go to the left-hand side and you go to your add tool, there's now a new tab in the middle called layouts there's a sticky nav, a hero with like an overlay, a card section, main content, a feature section, gallery, call to action, a subscribe form, a contact section, and then a footer. So if you wanted to stand up a website in just no time, this would be the way to do it. In fact, speaking of the Sarkis 3-Minute Challenge, I have not participated, and I apologize. I just don't know if I'll have time to, but I was joking with Nelson this past week that I should just quickly in 20 seconds use the pre-built layouts to build a page and then just give a 2-minute and 40-second TED talk about whatever I wanted. And that was going to be my entry. But it is really cool how fast you can stand something up with these pre-built sections. It's really awesome.
I totally agree. I was, Sarkis tagged me also, and I was thinking about doing that, just using all the pre-built layouts to just, and here's my webpage, because it's so fast and it's just absolutely crazy. So you can already develop on Webflow really quickly. And then now this just takes it to just a crazy next level of how fast you can do this. And it made me think of like, especially people who are just getting started with Webflow, to start out with these layouts and go look at them and then kind of deconstruct them of how they're put together. And they're already mobile responsive too, which is such a nice thing to have, because that to me is like the biggest pain in the butt, is trying to make things responsive. But to go in and kind of dissect it, pull it apart, see, you know, how things are built, but then also like, when you're just starting out with practicing, go through and use different variations of these pages and create these, you know, fake products or fake businesses, whatever, and put those in your portfolio as projects that you can do. And I think it's a great way to learn. And I'm also, so I've not done a portfolio update in a long time. And I think I'm actually just going to use something like this, because it's just a quick thing. And I don't have the brain power right now to go through and design a whole new website. So I'm really excited about it. And I'm interested to see how other people are going to use it.
Yeah, me as well. I think I really like this feature, and I'm glad it's here. I told Ben before we started recording, that I had a complaint. Complaint is the wrong word. I would love to see another iteration of this to where we can do custom pre-built layouts, because like the one thing with current pre-built layouts is like it uses a standard container element or things like that. And like, I'm not a huge fan of the standard container element. So,
this exists.
Oh, really?
It's called the symbol, and you can reuse it.
All right, guys. Get out of here. I am well aware of symbols. I'm just saying, if I could just start every project without having to copy and paste symbols in, that would be great. But I think pre-built layouts are great. And I think they'll be really helpful in getting, layouts made quickly. And I like Lacey's point of like, this is really great for people who are just starting out too, to see like, hey, this is how Webflow works. Here are like these main, you know, pieces. Here's what is different on each breakpoint. I think that's super valuable. And also, Sarkis, I'm sorry, you tagged me as well, but I have not done it yet. I'm going to claim Matthew Munger's excuse, which is he said, I am not a speed builder. Neither am I. So I don't know if I'm not good at building in 3 minutes, but maybe if I get some time this week, I'll try it out.
Yeah, super cool. I'm excited that they're out, and I can't wait to see what the community builds with everything. So super good stuff. The other conversation I feel like I saw 4 or 5 times this week was, and I've seen it a lot lately, is multi-reference fields in Webflow with Zapier and Integromat. And I think I started on this conversation with Ben Tossel from MakerPad, trying to figure out why it wasn't working. And we jumped in. I made a video to show how you can like, so you don't use the Webflow step. You use like the API, the webhook call to make that happen. And so I've just seen a lot of people, and MakerPad put out a really nice, like I made this really crappy video. MakerPad put out like a really polished video, which is super awesome. Hopefully a lot of people can pick up things from that and learn and figure out how they can do that themselves, which is really cool. So that was awesome. I also saw Mr. Coven for the win also coming in with a conversation about on Twitter about how he is doing this with Integromat. which is really cool. Also, I owe Ben Tossel an apology because I told him I was going to build my portfolio and start get my MakerPad profile rolling, which if you aren't on MakerPad, go do that. But this week, I promise this week, I'm finally going to do it. I keep saying I'm going to finish my portfolio, and I'm setting a hard deadline on myself. This week it will get done. Another video that I did get to make this week, which is also not very polished. Hopefully somebody can do a better job. It moves very fast, but there was a conversation about how to batch update IDs in Webflow. So Webflow has these item IDs that hang in the background and they aren't available in the front end. And you want to be able to take them out of the back end and place them in a field in your CMS so that you can use them in forms and connect them with Zapier or Integromat or whatever tool you're using. And somebody had mentioned they were trying to do this in Integromat, and Matthew Munger actually has a really excellent video for this, but they were hitting the Webflow rate limit. And so Parabola is actually a really cool tool to use here because they let you set how fast you're making those API calls so you can make sure you stay within that rate limit and you're not going to hit that or error out. And so I made just a really quick video that shows how to do this in Parabola so you can grab all your IDs and update them in mass.
Can you not do that rate limiting feature in any other software like Integromat or Zapier? Do they offer that same sort of, you know, speed functionality, I guess?
Zapier doesn't. I've not seen it in, I looked really quick in Integromat and didn't see an option. So they do have the HTTP call when you jumped into the advanced features. It's just not something that's there. Integromat team, I know a couple of you listen to this, would love to see this feature added. In fact, I have an email pre-written like asking for this in a feature request that I just haven't hit send on yet. So hope that like this is something that could be added in because I do think it's really useful. Webflow does bucketed rate limiting. So I'm going to get way into the weeds here, but essentially it's like 60 requests a minute, but not like you can make 60 within the first 15 seconds. If you made one every second, you're not going to be rate limited. It's at the rate that you do it, not at the total that you have for a minute. So anyway, there's another great post that came this week from Joe from F and Sweet, the agency, where he made a post. It's fnsuite.com/2020, where he did, it was a post about how he decided not to sell his agency for $1.24 million or something wild like that. It's incredible. I love to see no-code agencies thriving. This is a really cool story, and I think it's amazing.
Joe is honestly someone that, like, you know, like I run an agency myself, and like I'm always looking for, you know, other agencies, especially ones that work in Webflow. Like I'm looking to learn from people, and Joe's like one of the people that I am always looking at and like always admiring because he's always like putting out really, really great content, whether it's, you know, with Webflow hacks or with blog posts or things like that. And that article was just really interesting to me. I actually sent that to some people outside of the no-code space, just in terms of like how he ran his company. I think the fact that he passed up an opportunity to sell for $1.24 million. I think that I really admire him for that. And it shows that he's like really in it because he loves it. And you know, he wants to build it into something great and that, you know, he defines what he wants to build. So, respect to him on that front.
And I also love that how he pays his employees and he lets them decide what they're going to get paid and what that's going to look like. That's really cool. Right. So many props to Joe. I think he's such an incredible person and I love what he does. He's super brilliant, super talented. And there are other no-code agencies out there. If we don't mention you, would love to hear from you. Edgar Allen, F and Sweet, of course, 8020. We've talked about them. Minimum Studio, Simrel Media. And then there's one I'm going to pretty get along. Luhu, I think is what it's called. They just do like Zapier automations and things like that. It's really a pretty cool company. So there are definitely agencies out there really getting it with no code. And I think that's super awesome. And I'm super excited about it. And I think what Joe posted is really cool. So just gets you hyped. And if you were saying, oh, there's no room to really make money in this no code space, I think you're definitely, that this definitely proves that that's not the right take. So wanted to talk again about this thing we're doing in March. We're calling it Include Her, website to launch this week. But in the month of March, Matt and I are going to step back again. We're going to give Lacey the mic for the entire month. We want other podcasts to hopefully jump in this too. So short window, but we're going to ask other people to at least do 1 week. Don't know if other people will do it, but we're definitely going to. We want to make sure we give space for Lacey and just to bring to light the fact that being a woman who works in tech is not always easy. And so want to make sure that you listen during that month because we got a lot of really cool guests coming. I think it's going to be really, really, really cool.
Yeah, I am so excited about it. And I put out on Twitter about looking for other women in tech that are, you know, code or no code. And it honestly like blew up. It was probably like the most activity I've ever had on a tweet before. And it was such an encouragement to me to see how many other women there are in this tech space. Like I know in like the no code space, there's very few of us. And if you're listening to this and you're a woman in the no code space, would you just send me a DM so I know you're out there? But you know, it just feels like there's hardly any of us there. And so seeing that and seeing the response was so encouraging. And just like, I think even the women who were, you know, being tagged as someone's favorite woman in tech really felt honored and like appreciated. And I think that that's one thing that also is great to do for other people is just to say how much you appreciate their work or, you know, contribution to the community. It's really, you know, an encouraging thing to hear. So I'm really excited about the month of March. I'm really excited. There are some amazing people that you're going to get to hear from. And I think it will be a really great month of celebrating all the work that's going into this space.
Can't wait. I'm super excited for it. I think it's going to be really awesome. And so encourage you to tune in. It's going to be really good stuff. So now let's get to our episode. So this week we're talking about, we had an email. I don't want to give away too much from a listener who just asked a simple question, you know, is it possible to have a career as a no coder? Like, is this a thing? And I know in the past we talked about minimum studio posting job openings, 80/20, that's for real and legit as it gets. We just talked about FN Suite and what they're doing, all incredible stuff. But for the most part, when we see these studios, you know, there's not a lot of job postings or a lot of jobs where people are looking to hire somebody to work in no-code. Like, in fact, when you look at most no-code job boards, it's here is a gig on Upwork, or here is a really short-term contract gig, or like, do you want to work at Webflow or Zapier? You know, do you want to work for a no-code tool? There's not a lot out there in the way of, you know, no-code jobs, actually jobs as a no-code maker.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's why I was really excited to hear from Marco, Marco Cornaccio is who this episode is about today, because he is literally looking to get a job. He's like almost not like most of the people that I've met in tech. A lot of people in tech are like, I want to work remote and like, I want to, you know, build my own massive agency. But he's like, yo, like, I just want to build great products with like great people in an office. I'm really excited about him. Shout out to Marco. Marco is literally one of our first listeners, literally our fourth email ever, and our first sign up on Visual Dev School. So he supported us, and I'm really glad we got to interview him today. And I think it'll be really interesting for everyone to hear.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And I just, you know, as we talked about this, it really just got my mind moving that although we see like a lot of movement in the no code space, it does feel like every time you see like, here's how to do this, it's always so you can do it by yourself. It's always so you can start your own thing or build your own product. There's not a lot out there in the way of jobs for no code makers, like full-time gig where you can go work somewhere. So here is my ask of you. Here's my thing. I just declared Twitter bankruptcy, so this might get me bankrupt again. I don't know. If you know of places where like they hire no code makers, let us know about it, right? Like, we want to know about the agencies who are using those tools, who are working with these items, or who are looking for people with these skills, because it really is it's not something that's super common. And so that's why we just wanted to have this conversation. What does And I would be curious to hear other people's responses to this too. So we really hope you tweet us, email us, you know, reach out to us. We want to hear what you think about the future of work in no code. But this interview was really, really fun, and we really hope you enjoy it. Marco is such a humble guy, but super talented and really wonderful. And so definitely hope you enjoy this episode, and we will talk to you next week.
Marco, thank you so much for coming on. We are all really, really excited to talk to you. A little bit of background for the people listening. Marco emailed us with a question back in December, towards the end of December, that really floored us. I was actually sitting and having coffee with Ben when we got the question, and we started talking about it right then and there. And right then and there, Ben was like, let's have Marco on the show to talk about this. And the email that you sent us was essentially talking about how you want to get a career in no code and talking about, you know, the viability of that and how we see that, how we see the no code job market in the future. So we're going to dive into that. But first of all, thank you for coming on. I would love to hear more about your background. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your path and like, you know, how you got into playing with no code tools?
Absolutely. And thank you all for having me on. I know you have some like really big ticket guests on the docket coming up, and now I'm just like a regular person. I'm not anything big like that, but I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm super pumped to be here. So I am currently a web developer at an agency in upstate New York, small agency, like 10 people or so. So we all kind of wear different hats every now and then. But the past year or so, I've kind of been transitioning into product design and trying to do more of that. But my pathway into no code tools kind of starts in my master's program. I did a master's program online at SUNY Polytechnic. It was called the Information Design and Technology program. And my master thesis was actually a Webflow site. So that was my first introduction into the no code space.
Awesome. How did you find Webflow within your master's program? Is that something you stumbled upon yourself, or was that part of course curriculum?
No, it was kind of an open project. We were able to do whatever we want. And I had some past experience with using WordPress and Squarespace. I didn't know how to code at the time, but I knew enough to like be able to get a theme up and like edit it accordingly to get to do what I wanted it to do for certain like side projects, like certain like blogs and stuff that I was involved with for like friends and stuff, just because I was like somebody that they would reach out to do that type of stuff.
Right.
But Webflow, I kind of stumbled upon when I was looking for like a WYSIWYG tool. Mm-hmm. And I went on the marketing page and I was like blown away because it was like different than anything I've seen. And when I finally started digging into it, I realized it wasn't like a traditional WYSIWYG. I couldn't just drop anything where I wanted to. Like there was actual like logic behind it. And I got something up, pretty quickly. It wasn't great, obviously, but I was like, it gave me the confidence to be like, okay, yeah, I can do this. I can build a site and I can complete this project. And, kind of knowing that there was real code behind it was huge for me, because that kind of gave me the pathway to start getting into actual web development after that.
So first of all, I want to say, I don't think you're nobody. I think you're somebody. I love you.
Absolutely.
Well, enjoyed your work. And
there's some awesome Twitter people that I follow that.
1,000%. But everybody matters. And I think that I'm excited about having you on. I did want to jump in. You said at the time you didn't know much about code. Was like, do you feel like you're more well-versed or well-rounded in that area now? And did that come from learning at college, or did that come from work with no code tools? Did no code tools kind of empower you to pick that up? I'm just a little curious.
Yeah. So, I guess I have to explain how I actually got my job then, to get into that. So kind of off of the strength of the master's project that I just spoke about, I did an interview for a web development position at the company that I'm at now, without like any actual experience. And like, I never wrote a line of code when I took the interview. Like I just used Webflow. And they tried me out for like, 2 weeks or so, on the job, and they let me use Webflow to see if I could, replicate some of the designs that the designers had. And I was able to do a good enough job where they actually felt like, you know, I think this kid can learn code. I think he'll be able to learn on the job. So, that's kind of where that started. I got the job and, I've been learning code the last 2.5 years. But really, Webflow was like the main thing that actually got me being able to learn it. Like seeing, I remember just being on Webflow and, like some of the things when I started to learn code, like were in the visual interface of Webflow, like seeing things like padding and margin and things that I didn't really understand what I was doing, but I knew visually what they were doing. So it was huge to kind of like, reverse engineer that and actually have to code that up and be like, okay, yeah, I understand some of these things. Like I've dealt with these things before, in Webflow, and it really opened the pathway up. Cause I don't know if I would have been able to understand some of the things on the job if I didn't have that, like in my background. So.
For sure. Yeah, no, I totally get that. I'd be curious to hear how you learn Webflow. Cause I've noticed that everyone's path when it comes to learning Webflow is a little bit different. Some people, you know, dive straight into rebuilding projects. Some people go through Webflow University. Some people do, you know, a paid course. Like there's a bunch of paid courses out there. How did you get into it? You know, when building your thesis project or today?
Well, for the thesis project, I kind of just threw stuff at it and saw how it reacted and fixed it accordingly. And I think there were a few people, this was a few years ago, like I think even before they called it the Webflow University and all that. So there was a few people on YouTube that I would watch tutorials of and just learn that way. Like I'm obviously a big visual learner. So, having people like do tutorials and just trying to replicate them is how I started off. But now there's so many great resources out there, like MakerPad and a bunch of other things that are more accessible now. So I always try to learn what I can from people that are better at it than I am. So that's kind of how I go about it.
For sure. I'd be interested to see also, so you know how to code, but you also love working with these no-code tools. Why are you so passionate about the no-code tools and the no-code space itself?
I think because I know how to code, I just, when I'm in Webflow, I can do things so much faster and easier than like when I'm not using it. It's just like, I've been, if you talk to anybody I work with, you know that I talk about Webflow literally weekly. Like I've begged them to use it on some projects that we work on. And recently they actually have let me do that. And we were able to bang out some projects pretty quick. And it's just such a more streamlined process most of the time. If you don't need a super complex backend website, there's really nothing better in my opinion.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that front. So getting back to the topic at hand, a career as a no coder, why do you want to work as a no coder versus, and building, you know, I think in our, either in our Twitter DMs or our email, you talked about how you wanted to be essentially a full stack product designer. Why do you want to pursue that path versus anything else?
I think a no code career in general would be awesome to have that position. And I see those popping up. But personally, like you're talking about, I want to kind of add that to my stack. I want to have that, I want to own as much of the design process as possible. And being able to build your own designs, there's nothing better than that. And being able to do it at the speed of some of these no code tools allow you to do it, is something that I think is going to be huge for a lot of agencies and a lot of companies in the coming years. At least I hope so. And I think you guys feel the same way about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, you know, I mean, Marco, I've talked to you about this off air and, you know, Ben Lacey and I talk about it pretty often, but like, you know, there are places like Minimum Studio that, have put up jobs in the no code space. And I mean, there's a lot of agencies right now that are, you know, champions of the no code space, and are they're already pretty big, but I think they're about to blow up even more as we see more, you know, Fortune 500 and Fortune 100 companies get into no code. Cause I mean, you're 100% right. You know, it's a faster way to iterate. It's a faster way to build. And I think it's just like, it's a win-win for everyone in the process. So, where have you been looking for no code jobs? Are there places you're looking for, communities, job boards, things like that?
I mean, I know it sounds silly, but Twitter has been like a huge, I think I saw a tweet. Somebody was like, Twitter is kind of like what LinkedIn thinks it is. And I think that's, I think that's even more true, like in the tech space, obviously, because there's such a big community out there of people like either looking for jobs or posting jobs, posting opportunities, posting resources. I mean, I've learned so much from being on Twitter. I can't speak enough about that. But to answer your question, I mean, I've been looking at typical places like Glassdoor, Indeed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know about Dan Petty's Epic Jobs. Yeah. So I check that out a lot. But I'm in the early process of like getting everything together and applying. So I'm tempering my expectations a little bit on that. But those are kind of the places that I've started to look.
For sure. So just to be clear here, and just so I understand better, are you looking for a job, you know, like what's your aspiration? Are you wanting to build products for someone else at an agency? Do you want to own the agency? Do you want to work at a place like Webflow or Adalo and things like that? What type of job in no-code?
I'm not excluding anything, but I think my comfort zone right now is the agency model, just because that's what I'm used to.
Sure.
And I'd like to do more of the product design and no-code work. So any position that allows me to do that and that I enjoy the company and enjoy what they build and what they stand for is that's kind of what I'm looking for.
For sure.
My thought is, you know, the three of us internally talk frequently about how many things you can build with no code and what it could do. And, you know, we've thrown out the idea of spinning up an agency because all three of us are, we have clients on the side with freelance. I do exclusively no code implementation. I try not to write code if I can help it. And I know that, and I know that Ben and Matt are, you know, they do a mixture of both. And so it's interesting to me to think about, you know, because if let's say in a world of someplace, if we ever did, you know, spin this up and, you know, consolidate and pull in an agency model of, it's helpful to have this conversation, I think, because it's like, what would we even look for to help, you know, for people to help us with these projects? And I think a no coder, like you're kind of like a Swiss Army knife, right? So you can do design, but you also understand complex backend structure and working with different tools. And I just think that that's an extremely valuable skill set. It's like what we talked about with Bram of kind of being a generalist, where you can move to one direction or the other. So I just think it's fascinating.
What's your go-to stack?
Right now, I know you guys talk a lot about like Glide and Card and a lot of those things. And I really want to dig deep into that. But as far as like my process for creating websites with Webflow, I design them in Figma. I do project management through Notion. And I know you guys have been banging the drum on Coda last episode. So the questions that you sent me were on Coda. So I was checking that out and I'm like, oh man, do I really want to like move everything over there? It seems like, seems like that's the spot right now. But, so project manager in Notion and ultimately end up building it in Webflow.
Did you pick your stack just based off of like playing with different tools, or did you, have you taken Ryan Segal's masterclass?
Yeah.
Love that masterclass. First of all, that's incredible.
Amazing.
I think all of us have taken it. Do you get your recommendations on products? Do you get those from like courses, or do you like essentially build your own list of, you know, go-to tools like Notion and Figma and things of that nature?
I just try a lot of things out, and anything that I like using, I'll try to use it. It's as simple as that, I guess. Anything that just gets the job done and gets what I need to do, I'll use it for sure.
Right.
So there are, I know that you said like looking for no code gigs and really more as like a maker, right? And I think that it's crazy how, and really wild how like when you talk to somebody who's a no coder, they really do have that expanded skill set. And so when we look at like the no code space, there are some champions out there that exist. So like Edgar Allan, Effin' Sweet, which is really cool. I don't know if you follow their work. And Joe, super awesome. 8020, brand new. Minimum Studio, which I think Matt already mentioned. Bailey Simrell, who is a big Webflow guy, has an agency. I don't know. Have you reached out to any of those people, or is that like a plan? Because, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm so glad you brought this up, because the first thing I said to Matt is like, It would be cool to have a job where you just build things with no code. I don't know where you do that yet, you know? And it's like trying to find that spot. Like, are you planning, like, is your plan to like kind of reach out to some of these different agencies and people who are already doing it? Or is it more like local agencies who you think you might be able to influence or bring that style of work in?
A little bit of both, I guess. I mean, I'm definitely going to reach out to some of these companies that strictly do no code and like that's their business model. But I'd love to see like even other agencies that maybe don't currently have a no coder or don't even really see it as a position to just start thinking about it and seeing how it fits in their workflow. Because I really think it's beneficial to just being able to make things really quickly and like you said, have people that are a little bit more design driven, own a little bit more of that process and be more involved. And I know a lot of, I know what's good about this is some of the relationships between designers and developers, it gets a little, it gets hard sometimes when you're trying to convey ideas and just kind of tightening that up a little bit and having that be more of a streamlined process, I think is going to be huge. And I think you're going to see a lot of great products come because of that.
I got a couple follow-up questions just as like I think about like the no code space. So some ways I've seen people be very successful as no code makers are like Webflow has like an experts listing, but they also have like template makers, and I know that you can buy no code templates from I'm trying to remember what it's not Creative Market. It is
Flowbase. Is Flowbase sell?
Well, Flowbase sells them, but ThemeForest, they have sell as well, right? And you know, I know that people have done well that way. Is like, has some of your thought ever been like putting creative energy into maybe building something like that and selling those and using that as a base to launch your own thing? Is that ever come to mind? Cause I feel like, and there are probably so many people listening to this who have been like, yeah, I've been meaning to like make a Webflow template or a bubble template because you know, that's where it's at. There's money there. And for well-designed products because I know that the space is limited. Has that view or that direction ever crossed your mind?
I've thought about it for sure. I think currently I just have the anxiety of like wanting a secure job. and like, I would definitely do that stuff on the side. But my main focus has just been like landing something that's like, you know I'm going to get paid every week. I know I'm going to be good on that aspect. And then, hopefully plan like spaces like you just talked about and hopefully, be able to create more and help people out because I'm passionate about this subject, obviously. But yeah, that's kind of where my head is with that. I want to land a job, and then I'm happy to help out in any way that I could in the space.
For sure. Are you looking to land a job in NYC, or are you wanting to work remote? And are there any agencies specifically that you'd want to work for? You know, whether it's like, you know, the big, you know, VaynerMedia type agencies, because you're in a good spot for that in New York. Or are you trying to work with, you know, someone like 8020, who's like focused on great design work and great no code work?
I do want to live in New York City, so I am looking for not just remote jobs, but jobs that are actually in-house or in-office at an agency or an in-house startup or something like that. But no, I'm not against working remote for a company if I was able to still live in New York at all. It just comes down to a fit and hopefully if they value no code.
So go ahead, Matt.
Go for it.
So, you know, as a part of that, there are some like no code communities out there that I think of. So you mentioned MakerPad for sure, which is a really cool one. There's No Code Founders that Joshua created, which is really cool. I don't know. Have you joined any of those communities and like Slack groups and tried to like poke around and see if people are Because here's what I found, and people who are listening to this who are in the no-code community can probably really get in their feels on this one, but it seems like every community or everything that comes up, it's about helping somebody become an entrepreneur and create their own thing. And it seems like there's a lot less energy around helping or around, you know, having places where people can join in on other people's work and be a no coder. So, I mean, have you joined any of those or looked any of those at all?
I'm part of the No Code Founders Slack group. I'm not super active on there just because I have about like 10 other Slack groups that I'm involved in, and it just gets busy sometimes with all the other stuff going on. But yeah, like you said, I wish there was more energy towards put towards like having these positions be real things. Like, I want to go on Indeed. I want to go on Glassdoor and like search no coder, or even more like more specific than that, like no code Webflow or something like that. I really think there is a huge opportunity for these agencies to take advantage of, or just places in general that do this type of work.
Yeah, because it feels like, so MakerPad, they do have a job board, but their job board is really focused on like, do you want to work at Webflow? There's Webflow jobs. Do you want to work for Parabola? There's Parabola jobs. But there's no jobs yet that, oh, I could work building with Parabola and Webflow for somebody, you know. And I feel like those are out there. I mean, so one of the things that we'll probably talk about in the no code roundup, or have already talked about by the time you're listening to this, but I'm going to mention it again, is Joe from FN Suite. He posted today about how he did not sell his no code agency for $1.24 million.
$1.24 million.
I mean, so there is money to be made out there. And I, you know, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but like, people don't care how it's made as long as they get the end product they want.
100%.
Right. And, yeah. And so, there's definitely money to be made in that no code space. And I feel like it's really easy to translate your really good designs into a really good website using Webflow tools that you love. I mean, and then there are other job boards like No Codery, which it's kind of pulling, like, people post jobs, but it's also pulling jobs from like Upwork and different places like that. But they're more like gigs. It's not like, you know, it's contract work. It's not. So I don't know. I wish there was something more fleshed out there for sure, because, and this is going to be my plea to the listeners. If you have a no code job listing, please send it to us. I will build a job board tomorrow and put these listings up there. You know, if you know something, send that tweet out, sound the alarm. I'm going to see who we can get to mention, but I would love to have a place where we could post from design agencies, you know, that focus on no code, how we could help other people find spots in that space. So
for sure. I think it's about to blow up, honestly. I think we're going to start seeing more and more no-code jobs. I noticed that there is a very, very large demand for no-code freelancing. So, like, essentially on a contract basis. Have you done any of that lately? Like, you know, I've picked up a lot of gigs. I really like the point you said earlier. I meant to mention this about using Twitter. I think if you use Twitter correctly, it can be the biggest career hack and like jump your way to the top. Like, Twitter DMs and cold emails, I so strongly believe in both of those in terms of like the
road. I mean, I wouldn't have listened to this podcast if it wasn't for Twitter. I wouldn't have learned half of the things I've learned and met half of the people I've met if it wasn't for that. I mean, it really has been incredible. Right. I think it there's a huge community and there's a lot of people passionate about it. And I think it's just great. I'm so happy something like that exists, because it really is like a career hack, like you said.
I totally agree. Have you considered freelancing, or have you done any freelance work like in the Webflow space?
I've done some on the side a little bit, just Webflow. And the people that I'm making it for don't know the difference if it's, you know what I mean? Sure. They don't know I'm doing it in no code. They just know they're getting a website, or they just know they're getting this or that. So, like you said, people don't necessarily care about how it's built. As long as it just works and does what it needs to do and looks nice, that's all people really care about in the end.
Yeah, for sure. And I know one thing that I did want to talk to you about was you once tweeted us in late 2019, and you said, no code puts the emphasis on design. As a as a, you know, someone that wants to be a full stack product designer yourself, are you wanting to focus more on like the design part of it, or are you wanting to focus more on the development, or like where do you want to be spending most of your time?
Yeah, that's where it frees it up for me. It frees up like time and mental energy to be spent more on the design of things. I feel like I can design something and I can spend 20 hours designing a page or a website and then spend 10 hours building it. And like,
right.
Usually it's reversed. Like it just opens up so much more time for me to actually flush out ideas and get what we get a better end product. And I think that's really, the focus of no code. Like that's what it's pretty much meant to do. It's meant to give people and lower the barriers to web development and just building things in general. And there's so many people with creative ideas that don't get an opportunity to actually flush them out because they don't know how to do this stuff. And I think just allowing them to do it, you're going to see some like awesome things come from it.
Right. No, I 100% agree. I mean, that's what no code is all about, democratizing software.
So one question I have, if you were talking to younger Marco, or if you were talking to somebody who is looking to get in the space, and I'm just going to steal Matt's question here, but, if someone's looking to pick these skills up, what, like as someone who's kind of gone through this transformation or growth period, how would you encourage people to enter development, web design, no code, you know, what path would you suggest for people?
Like I said, there's so much out there on Twitter and on the internet and on YouTube that you can research and look into. And just, I mean, if day one, you want to learn like how to use Webflow or how to start web development, just jump on Webflow, find someone on YouTube that does a tutorial and just try to mimic it. Just that, like, that's what I did. Basically, I just tried to mimic people doing what they did. And then once I felt like I was good enough, I was able to make my own stuff. And I feel like that's true with most of the practice and trades that we do in like the tech field. It's just copying somebody until you're good enough to do it yourself and then go and just run with it.
So I guess my question would be, if you had the chance to go through college again, or you had a chance to take another path, and which would you choose? By the way, Florida Gulf Coast University, right? And
yeah,
it was 2012-13. They had a heck of a run in the NCAA tournament. Yep, for anybody who cares, but
that's the only way that people recognize that school, but I'm fine with it.
No, I'm just curious because I mean, you do have like, I do hear from people now who like they come out of high school and instead of maybe going to a 4-year college, they go to coding, coding academy, and then they're looking to jump in, you know, and then maybe they take a couple years of college just to kind of have some experience and round some of that out. But they're taking more non-traditional paths. And in fact, there are a lot of people who work in tech who probably aren't qualified to have the job they have. So I'm just curious, like if you had it to do over again and knowing what you know now, like, would you still try that path? Is that important? Still feel like an important piece to you? I'm just, I'm always curious how people feel about that.
I just want to preface it with like the tech space, because I feel like we I don't know how to put this, like sit at a place of privilege because we work on computers and do the things that we do. It's easier for us to be like, oh yeah, just don't go to school. Like you don't have to learn a trade, just go and take these master classes and you'll be fine. So I'm not like advocating don't go to college. Cause I think it's definitely necessary for a lot of careers, but speaking to what we do, looking back, and maybe today and maybe like within 5 or 10 years, I'd say, you know, going to college in the traditional sense isn't necessary. There's so many, I've learned so much more from the master classes and online courses that I've taken after even my master's program that I'm like, yeah, I've learned so much more, and they're just so much like more easily digestible. And if it was today, I'd have a big decision to make as far as if I actually wanted to go to school and all of that. But I'm happy I did and it worked out the way I did, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, there's a lot of good resources out there that if you have the wherewithal and dedication to do it, you're going to learn a lot if you want to.
For sure. No, I totally agree with that. your viewpoint on college is definitely a lot better. And I'm pretty anti-college, but you bring up a good point.
I mean, I'm not pro-college, but I don't want to like steer anybody in the wrong direction.
Right,
like,
right.
Don't do this.
For sure. I think one of the my degree in college ended up being completely different than tech. It was a finance degree. But I do think that if I got anything from college, it was like I met a few people that I feel like were really useful. Do you think you could build, like, do you think college was good for networking, or do you think Twitter had more of an impact for networking than college?
Personally, for me, college was kind of, I always tell people, like, college was kind of just like nailing down my work ethic and being like, you have this due on this date, you need to get it done, and it's on you to do it. And I mean, almost every single job is that in some aspects. But yeah, for networking, Twitter above everything. I mean, I definitely networked way more after college. And like, once I actually realized what I wanted to do and like the career path I wanted to take,
right,
I just kept finding people left and right. Like, oh, I'll follow this person, follow this person. Like, I just was like soaking up all this knowledge from the people I follow. So I definitely would say Twitter has been the biggest networking thing for me, way more than college ever was.
I'm 100% the same way. It's amazing how many people that are like, I follow a lot of e-commerce experts, and like people will just share like all of like their secrets or, you know, any like gems that they have. It's just like things that I wouldn't be able to get in a textbook, or college courses really couldn't keep up with.
Like one of the only fields where like people are like open books, like here's the secret sauce to do what you want to do. Like if you want to do it, it's here for you to do.
Yeah, 100% agree. Well, cool, Marco. I think that's about all the time we've have today. Where can people? Well, one, I mean, I want people to be able to hire you. So, where can people find you, contact you, connect with you, all that good stuff?
My Twitter name is Marco by Design, because Marco Carnacci is taken. It's been 10 years from the account no one has tweeted from, and I've been contacting Twitter to be like, can you just free this up for me? And nobody answers me. Yeah, so Marco by Design on Twitter, at Marco Carnacci on Instagram, and hopefully by time this actually posts, my portfolio will be up, and I'll send you guys a link to that for people to visit if anybody's interested.
Cool. Sounds good. Marco, thank you so much for being on. We really, really appreciate it. And if I find anything in the no code space, I will definitely send it your way.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yeah.
You guys are like one of the people that I'm talking about that I look up to in the space, and that I've really enjoyed the podcast. I think you guys are doing an awesome job. I think it's super important to have something like this. So
that means a lot. That really
thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very kind.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks so much for being on.
Thanks, Marco.
And thanks so much for listening. Back just for one more second. I want to let you know that Marco has a portfolio up. It is marco.fyi. His work is really good. I hope you go check it out. And if you're somebody who's looking for a talented no-code maker, no-code builder, I think he would be a great person to have on your list. And so definitely check that out. And like we said before, if you have other places, know of other places that are hiring, or people looking for no-code makers, let us know. We want to hear about it. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdev.fm.